I'm in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. I'm going to read 4 through 10. It says, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sambalat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." Father God, I love you with all my heart. Lord, and you see what I have done. I have prepared, Lord God, the way you've taught me to and showed me, Lord God, and I've read my word, and I've been true to you, Father God. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that I will be humble, Lord God, and receptive to what you want, not what I want, God, because it's not about us anyway. Father God, I am a vessel. I ask, Lord, that you just pour out your word, Lord God. The things that you have seen me study, God, and what you have put in me through the week, Lord God, and I just pray that you have your way, Lord. If there's one here tonight, God, that does not know you or has issues in their lives, Father God, that they wish to bring to you and let you heal their heart, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move upon them, Father God, and they would be receptive, Lord God, and not fight, Lord God, because you are the grandest thing anyone could ever have. Lord, I love you with all my heart. I just pray, Lord. Amen. All right, man. In Nehemiah, God, I had preached this before, kind of, you know. And I sit there, and the pastor asked me to preach. I said, God, the first thing he brought to my mind was this passage of Scripture. I said, God, I preached that before. That ain't no good no more. All right? I mean, I know that's a bad way to look at it, but, I mean, I'm just growing. You know, like the rest of us. So, God, I preached that already, you know, and I could not get away from that, from the what the Word of God, what He was showing me. In the book of Nehemiah, see, Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer, I'm pretty sure. And some guys come to him. I'm going to give you the rundown up to chapter 4. Some guys that came to him and told him that the city had been destroyed, Jerusalem had been beat up, you know, torn down. And it broke his heart. Because that was the city of his fathers and his family. You know what I mean? His father's tombs and stuff were there. And it broke his heart. You know, so he wept and he cried and it made him sorrowful. And he was before the king one day and he had this sadness upon him. And he said that all through his life, the times that he had been before the king, he was never sad before the king. And so the king asked him, so what's going on? You're sad. I see you're sad, Nehemiah. And he said, you know, he feared for his life. And that he started explaining to the king what is going on and why he was sad. So the king basically gave him anything he wanted. He said, I want you to go. Well, if you want to go and rebuild the city of your fathers and work on the wall, you go. Anything you need, I will give you. In my own words, I'm just trying to catch you up to speed here. So Nehemiah went and they started working on the wall. And it says, so built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And that's just like us, you know, when we are new Christians, new converts, we have a mind to work, do we not? And we're excited, we're on fire for God, we're wide open, you know. we are wide open for Christ, you know, and we are as children, we're babes, you know what I mean? And so we are on the milk of the Word. You know, so we're growing in God, and we're growing in God, and adversaries come against us, and things come against us in our life. That's just the way it goes, right? It says, but came to pass when Sambalat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, that they were very wroth, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. That's how it goes. Am I right? I mean, we're doing things for God. We're on fire. So, man, you know, I just give my heart to Christ, and I'm forgiven. And all those sins I did in my life are gone, you know. Man, so we're excited. You know, we're moving for God. We're trying to go forward. We're trying to get out of the things that we had just done. Because you guys know as well as I do, even though you leave him at the altar and you go to Christ and he says, I love you. I shed my son, you know, his blood for you. You are forgiven. You know, you are forgiven. You're forgiven. They're gone. The word says they're cast far away as the east is from the west. Never be brought back before you. You know, right? Okay. So they're gone. But you walk back out and you still have a life to live. Okay? Now you have to make it up in yourself, in your mind, that those things that you once did, even though you left them at the altar, even though they're gone to Christ, you got to leave them there. Right? You can't go forward in your walk with Him and still doing the things you did. Right? You can't work on the wall. You can't be a stone under Christ and to fit this grand picture that Christ has for us in the church if you're still doing the things you did. You can't. It's impossible. Okay? It is impossible. The Word says that we have to be doers of the Word, not just hearers. Right? You can't just come in and soak it up like a sponge and never use it. You can't ever put it to feet, you know, that and let it grow in your heart. And so I was sitting there this evening, you know, and I'd studied and I was ready. And I read over Nehemiah again. And the Lord pulled two things out of it to me. So I want to talk to you as new Christians or as sinners that need to come to Christ. Okay? He is the grandest thing. If you don't know God, you don't know God. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is the grandest thing ever. I mean, He is. I remember, you know, I was in that church my whole life. And then one day, He really got a hold of me. It was different than all those other times. You know? I mean, I'd come to the altar 100 times in my teenhood, my adolescence, and ask for forgiveness. But I would do the same things when I walked back out to church. You know? And He is the grandest thing. I was into drugs and drinking and chasing girls and all kinds of premarital sex and cussing. I've said more filthy words in my life. It would rot your ears off. You know, I know what it's like to live that way. I know what it's like to live that way. And to run day to day, week in to weekend, you know. And just blow all your money and just have enough to party. And then come time to eat and survive. Man, you were scrounging. I know what that's like. I've been there. And I look back upon my life now and say, God, I wish I'd have never went through that. I really do. Because I wish I'd have just been obedient and paid attention to what you told me all the times. Amen. You know, and never had to deal with that. Never had to go through that. But now I see that and I know how to witness to others that are going through that. You know, everybody can't go out and witness to a drunkard or somebody doing drugs. Everybody can't do it. You ain't got it in you. You ain't ever been there. You don't know where that person's at that point. Am I right? So I want to talk, if you never know Christ, He is the grandest thing you will ever know. Okay? If you're new Christians and there's things in your life that you need to get right with God that are, you know they're still there. You know they're still there. You still struggle with them on a daily basis. Tonight is the night you need to come to the altar. I want you to give them to Christ, and I want you to, you need to get in your Word, because that is the most important thing for any of us. Amen. You know, you can sit and pray all you want, and you can sing all you want, but without the meat of the Word, you will not grow. If you starve your spirit, you will die. You cannot take a newborn child as a new Christian. You cannot take a newborn child and not feed it. I mean, there's a lot of parents in here, right? Allie started screaming her head off. I remember the first time, so we were new, and we didn't know nothing about it. You know, raised kids. I mean, we didn't starve her or nothing. But we didn't, I mean, but I remember I had no idea what was going on, so I left everything up to Brandy. I just did what she told me. Okay? And, well, I mean, okay. So anyway, when I remember, there was a day we had some family over, and Allie, we fed her 3 ounces, and Brandy was on this thing about feeding her 3 ounces of formula, right? And I forgot what she was, but we fed her 3 ounces, and she didn't quit crying. And Brandy's like, well, I don't know what's going on with her. I don't know why she won't quit crying. And I remember my aunt said, maybe she's still hungry, you know? So we fed her 3 more ounces, and it flattened her out. So, you know, it's the same with our walk in Christ, okay? You cannot come in to cry. You cannot give your heart to God, get up and leave, and never have nothing else to do with it. You're saved. I'm a firm believer. When you give your heart to Christ, you come up and you accept Him as your Savior, the Word says you are not your own no more. You've been bought and paid for. Right? You are sealed to the day of redemption. Right? Okay. But that does not mean you won't die and go to hell. Right? that you better be walking your life according to the Word of God.
Right.
Amen. You have to. You have to. Man, you got cheered every time. It's not just me that preaches this. I've listened. I've been to... Man, it's just what God's been pouring out. I mean, if you listen to what the pastor's been preaching, okay, and what's been in our Sunday school lessons, and that's this, you have to walk holy before the Lord. Okay? You cannot dabble in sin. You cannot do those things. I mean, I'm not preaching condemnation because the Word says there's no condemnation in Christ. I mean, right. The Son is set free is free indeed.
Amen.
That's just the way about it. But conviction is not condemning you. Okay? So you have to be pure and holy before the Lord. You have to at least have a mind to be. You have to strive
Amen.
To be right before God. So, as a new Christian, if you're a sinner and you don't know Christ, you need to come to... I mean, it don't matter. You come tonight. It would bless us very much if for somebody here that don't know God to come tonight. If He's drawing on you, don't turn Him away. Because I know you don't. We're not promised tomorrow. You might walk out the door, hit by a car. You're dead. You're going to hell. It's the way it is, you know. And it is a very real place. I mean, I know. I ain't never been there. And I've never seen it. But I know. I take the worst possible scenarios that I've walked through in my life that were outrageous. Outrageous. And I look at them, I say, God, those were some very bad people. And I was screwed up with them. And I was just as bad as they were. And they still made me inside. You know what I mean? You still knew. See, the devil will take you way further than what you're willing to go. So if you don't know Christ tonight, man, if He is drawing on your heart, don't turn Him away. Okay? For new Christians, if there's things in your life, you have to be reading your Word. This is the only way you're going to grow. Right here. Okay? Whether you come to church here full-time or you go somewhere else, you need to be in a Bible-based church. You need to be somewhere where the Word of God is being preached, and you need to live it as tightly as you can. Okay, but for veteran Christians, this is where God really stumped me. It scares me to death, I'll be honest with you. For veterans, God said it's time to clean out our house. Amen. God said it's time to clean out our house. We have been walking a long line. I say we. I'm just a young guy myself. But for some of us, I know this sounds kind of radical, but I know what God showed me and what He told me. And so I'm not here to please none of you. I love you with all my heart, but I'm going to tell you what God said. Amen. There's things going on in your lives that it's rubbish. He showed that word to me, rubbish. What do you think rubbish is? Rubbish is things you sweep under the rug. You hide. You don't deal with. You sweep them up in a corner and put something over top of them. Put a lampstand over top of them. So there's a light still shining there, but the dirt's still underneath of it. Right? The dirt's still there. And when people come in, you put on a facade and a show, but the dirt's still there. It don't mean you're not saved. It don't mean you're not trying, but you keep walking by that lampstand every day. Right? And you know that dirt's there, but you just can't. Yeah, God, I don't want to deal with that right now. I don't want to deal with that right now, but it's been 20 years, right? Or it's been 10 years, and you've never took that stand out and cleaned that corner, right? You never cleaned that corner. And it is hindering you from where God is trying to take you in your life, okay? That's what He showed me. You've never completely given up the things that you were supposed to as a young Christian. I tell you a story. I loved rubbing snuff. Okay? I mean, and I'm not saying snuff will send you to hell because I don't know. But I loved it with all my heart. I'm telling you. I mean, a rub of Copenhagen was as good as a bowl of ice cream. Alright? I'm telling you. My wife will tell you. And one day, I can't explain it. Anyway, and I still struggle with it. Don't get me wrong. They'll still bring it back to you. You know what I mean? It's something I have chosen to give up for God, okay? Because He was telling me one day, we were at Revival with Madonna, and it was on Wednesday night, and I knew I was called to preach. I knew I was called. I might not be very good at it, but it ain't about me anyway, right? So if you pick up one point, God did what He was supposed to do, right? So we were at Revival with Madonna, and I think Bobby Webb was preaching with me. It was on Wednesday night, and I remember... I walked outside of that door, and God had told me when I was in there. I walked out, God told me, it is time to do what I've called you to do. I said, all right, God, I'll do it. I'll do it. I don't want to, but I'll do it. You know, I just don't want nobody else's blood on my hands when this is all said and done. If I'm supposed to touch one soul, God, with your word, if it's just one, if I waste my breath in every other sentence, but one soul comes to know you, God, if one soul gets what you're trying to tell them, that's fine. I don't care. As long as they ain't on my hands. Okay? So, I was in the truck, and I was driving home, and God told me to get up snuff. I said, yeah, you know. I'm telling you, ice cream. Anyway, I enjoyed it very much, okay? And it's even worse when I work, when I'm around work. I can be at the house and not desire it at all. I go to work, and them guys rub snuff, smoke cigarettes, stuff like that, and it's the first thing, right, that I feel drawn on my heart immediately. So, I'm not telling you snuff's going to send you to hell. I don't know. God's never told me that, but he told me. I said, God, I struggled with that. I said, God, I don't really want to give that up. I'll enjoy that very much. It's one of the only things I can get by myself, and I threw up snuff in, and I just kind of breeze. You know? I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay? And God spoke to me as clear as I'm speaking to you, and he said it. Because I wondered if that's sin, if that was sin in my life. And he said, it's not sin. I don't know, like I said, I'm not speaking for nobody else. I'm speaking for myself, what he's told me. He said, it wasn't sin, but it was a hindrance to where I'm trying to take you.
Amen.
I said, okay, if that's the way it's going to be, okay. All right. So I went outside and I dug the can of snuff out. And then I went back and bought another can of snuff. All right? Well, because, hey, it's the truth, you know. We all struggle with things in our walk with Christ. And I'm still faced with that on a daily basis. And it is a battle. You wouldn't think it. But it is a battle.
Yeah.
Quitting nicotine was as hard as quitting some of the hard drugs I did in my life. Okay? I'm telling you. So, anyway, that's what God told me. It was a hindrance to where I'm trying to take you. And so, and I looked back, when he told me, I looked back through my life, you know, and I played sports and did different things, and I always wanted to be good at what I did. All right? I always wanted to be good at what I did. I didn't want to be some average Joe. You know, I played linebacker in high school, made All-State. You know, had a scholarship to go play college football, broke my hand. They quit talking to me. Anyway, that's a whole other story. But I always wanted to be good at what I did. And so I took that and I put it into place with my walk with Christ, right? My relationship with God. So God, I want to be good at what you called me to be. I mean, it ain't about my anything, but if you honor God, he will honor you.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Right.
So I said, Lord, I want to be good at what you call me to be. And if giving up this, if getting this out of my house, you know, and out of me, Lord, is going to let me take another step forward in my walk with you, in my relationship with you, and get me closer to you, I'll give it up. So I fight with it all the time, but I still made the choice to give it up. Right?
Amen.
Right. So the Lord says, he told me about the veteran Christians. This is what he called them, veteran Christians. People that have been walking with me for years. But they refuse to clean their house. And I got to thinking about what God was telling me. And this is the same message that the young man preached from, well, that too. But in our revival last year, same thing there. Well, just think, well, y'all, okay. Doug, same thing, you know. Same thing. So I don't know. I'm almost done, I promise. But I don't know. I know I'm not full. I'm not fired up and running and carrying on. But I'm not that way. You know? But I got to think about what God was showing me in his word and what it means to draw close to him, right? And the rubbish. The things that we sweep under our rug. The things that we hide in the corner. And, we don't tell nobody about, but God knows. Amen. God knows what you're hiding. He knows what's there. You can only hide it for so long. And here's the real kicker. It's sin, because the word says to know to do right and not is sin. Right? So if you know that it's still underneath that lampstand right there, and that light's shining bright up top, man, but that dirt's still there. Right? It's still there, and you've never pulled the lampstand out of the way and swept the corner. But you know you're supposed to. You walk by it every day, and you never take care of the problem. You never take care of the problem. It's sin. And the word says, listen, this is what really broke my heart. I don't care if you walk with him for 100 years. If you never take care of that, you're not going to heaven, because the word says that no sin will enter in.
Right.
Right? And that's what bothers me the most about it. If you walk by it every day and you know it's there, and you don't, it's like walking by a piece of trash in your house. Right. If you walk by and you walk through the house, man, you kick your shoes off after work and you're walking, there's a piece of paper on the floor. Do you just walk by it? Or do you pick it up and throw it in the trash? Or do you just close a blind eye to it and keep walking because you don't feel like bending over right now? Huh? It's that true. It's that serious. And it's sin because the word says it ain't Jay, it's the word. If you believe this to be truth, then what I'm telling you is truth. It says to know to do right and not is sin. And if you know that's there, and you've never taken care of it, and God's told you 100 times through your life that you need to just get that out of the way. Put that behind you so we can go forward in our relationship. So I can take you to a place that you have never even fathomed. Right? But you don't take it out of the way and throw it away. It's sin. It's sin. It's sin. And Judas said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. You're not going to be able to do the things God called you to do. It's like walking handicapped, right? It's like walking handicapped. Whether it's blind tradition, it's tradition of things long ago, right? Let me tell you something. If God ain't moving in them, get out of them, right? Do you desire to have a close walk with Christ, or do you desire the same old and not do nothing? What do you want? It's that simple. What do you want? Do you want to grow stronger in God, and you want to see Him move? You want to see people heal? You want to see just because you walk through the door in your work, the power of God on you because you're living holy and you're living right before Christ, and people can't stand to be around you. Sinners can't. They're either going to come to you for prayer or they're going to get away from you. All right? That's the truth. We are called to be so much more than what we are. We're called to be so much more than what we are. And you cannot leave it there. You cannot leave it there. You have to get it out of the way and you have to throw it away. You have to clean it up, reveal it, and throw it away. Right? You ain't revealing it to me. God knows it's there, but you need to bring it to Him. Right? See, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Because of that, you're handicapped. You will never walk in the fullness of Christ. That you are called to walk. Don't matter who you are. I don't care if you are the Pope. If that's there and you've never taken care of it, and God's told you to take care of it, and you still leave it there and it's still standing in your life, you will not be in fullness what you are supposed to be in your ministry. And believe us, every one of us in here has a ministry in Christ. Every one of us. Whether it's at your job, at school, at the supermarket when you go in and buy groceries, right? You're being watched. I promise. So, you have a ministry in your life. We're all supposed to fit in this wall. If you don't have to turn with me, I'm going to turn to 1 Peter. We're all supposed to fit in this wall. We are all stones in this wall. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as living, lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You know who we're talking about? Jesus. Right? Okay. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Jesus. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You believe you're people of God? Yeah. Right? I mean, you give your heart to Christ at one point in your life? Right? Okay. So you're people of God. Right? You're our chosen generation. He knew you before you were born. Did you know that, Greg? He knew you. He knew you'd be however old you are, with gray hair, right? And live on Medina Road. He knew. I mean, I'm not pointing you out about the gray hair. You know. I'm just saying, he knew who you were. And the word says that he knew you before you were in the womb. He knew the plans he has for you. The rest is that in the book of Jeremiah. And so you have a job to do in Christ. You have a job to do. So you might sit in the pew or and never think, man, God, I'm just here to be here. I'm here to hear the word and be part of praise and worship, and I get to go home. And that's good, and that's fine. But you don't hear it and not do it. Right? You have to take it with you. Somebody in your life is there for you to witness to. I promise. In I'm almost done, I promise. In the book of Kings, there's a story about Elijah. And this is what really got me. I hadn't even brought this into my mind, you know. God hadn't showed me this. And yesterday when I woke up real early, I was downstairs reading my Bible. And I was going over what he had given me and just reading, looking for the things, make sure that everything I was supposed to have, I had. Right? And I was talking to a very important person in my life. And I was telling them what God has shown me in the scripture. And we started talking about the story about Elijah. You guys know the story about Elijah. He was, it has to do with Ahab and Jezebel, right? And Elijah, in about chapter 18, so he'd been missing. God had been hiding him, basically. Okay, he showed back up on the scene. And this guy named Obadiah come to him, was looking for something completely different, looking for grass, I think it was, in the mountains so they could feed the animals. And there'd been a drought. Everything was burned up. Been drought for 3 years, I think. And this is what I want you to really get a hold of, okay? There'd been a drought for like 3 years. Elijah had been missing. God had been hiding. They were trying to kill him. He was a prophet of God. And so Obadiah ran into him and said, "Hey, whoa, where have you been?" You know, in my words, okay, where have you been? And he said, "I need you to go get Ahab. I want to talk to him." So anyway, they got Ahab. Him and Elijah talked. They got together, and there was 450, I think, prophets of Baal. And so he basically challenged them. That's just like God, ain't it? Put him to the test. Put him to the test. That ain't sin. That ain't wrong. God, you said, this is what your word said, so show up. I'm going to do what your word said, so show up. Right? I mean, that's pretty basic. Right? That's how this thing works. If God says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Right? Okay. So, he basically challenges them to a duel, that's what I'm going to call it. And they all got together and he said, "I want you to set an altar up and you prepare your sacrifice and you call out to your God. And if he comes down with fire and consumes that, he is God." You agree? No, yeah, we agree. Because that's pretty basic, right? Fire come out of heaven, that's God. Right? Okay. So they done it. And they commenced to praying and whatever they did, because, you know, they ain't godly men. Whatever they do, nobody ever showed up. So he started mocking them. Right? He said, "Cry louder. Maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he's sleeping. Cry louder. Maybe he just doesn't hear you." Right? They started cutting themselves and all kinds of stuff. When the people had enough of that, right? He said, "Hey, I want you to gather around me." And he prepared the altar of the Lord. He dug a trench around it. And he made it so that no man could show up and do this. He made it impossible for man, right? Impossible. He dug a trench around it, cut everything up, done everything, poured water over it. Made it impossible for anybody to do anything but God, right? Nobody else can take the blame for that. God done that. Okay, so all these people, you got all Judah and Israel hanging out watching, right? So he says, "Hey, listen. God, I know you are God. And I know you reign supreme. And you need to show them that you are God." God sent fire down to heaven, licked up the water, burned everything. It was gone, right? So they, whoa, that's God. That's what the people said, right? That's God there. If fire just come out of heaven, that's God. So they conspired. They got together. They conspired. They got together. They took these other prophets that were false. They were serving the wrong God. They ain't right. Gathered them all up, took them down to the brook, killed them. Got rid of the rubbish. Right? Got rid of the junk. You know, in that story about Elijah, they'd been in a drought. They'd been in a drought for 3 years. Okay? When the problem got brought out in the open and fixed, the rain came. Rain came. You know, it's that simple when I walk with Christ. You know that? It's that easy. So now, if you're going through a drought, maybe you need to deal with the problem. Man, I know sometimes we just have seasons. God just broke, it's a growth period in our walk, you know. But sometimes, there's rubbish underneath this lampstand. Sometimes it's that simple. It is. All you have to do is you just move it. I told you 15 years, Jay, that dirt was there. And you've never moved it. Just move it. Just move it. It is so easy. All you have to do is move it. You ain't even got to sweep it out. You just got to move the lampstand. Got to move it. Right? He'll move it. It's that easy. It is that easy. I feel like, I know I didn't go nowhere. It is. I'm done. I feel like I'm done. But we have an altar call. See, God knows what he's doing, doesn't he not? Because that's nowhere near the way I thought it was going to go. Amen. So he must be in charge. I know he's in charge. Amen.
Amen.
So if you, if there's something in your life that God's been telling you to deal with, if it's tradition, if whatever you're trying to do ain't working, you need to change up. You need to change up. It's that simple. Right? I mean, it's like sports, football. I know y'all a bunch of football fans, maybe not. But usually after about 4 or 5 losing seasons, they fire the coach. Right?
That's right.
I mean, you gotta have new management.
Yeah.
It's that easy. You gotta have new management. So if you never accept Christ, tonight's the night. If he's drawing at your heart, tonight's the night. It's that easy. You're not promised tomorrow. You might think, man, because I've done it many times, I just hang on to the back of the pew and think, God, I just wanted this to be over so I can go back outside because I know I don't want to get up out of this seat. You know? You know what I'm talking about. That knot in your stomach and your heart racing a million miles an hour. But it's so much easier. I promise, if you just take your hands off the back of the pew and take a step, one step,
amen,
you'll be up here before you know it. I mean, it's over with. I'm telling you, it just takes 1 ounce of commitment, and God will meet you back there. He'll meet you all the way back here. If you're a veteran Christian, if you've been walking with Christ a long time, and he's been telling you there's some things you need to take care of that you haven't done, you need to take care of them. It might not be tonight, but you need to take care of them. Because sin is sin. Whether you've lived for him for 100 years or for one day, sin is sin. And the word says that no sin will enter into the gates of heaven. That's what it says. So I'm done.